Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting from Atlanta, Georgia, this is The Bright Side with Technisha.
A daily broadcast on real-life issues that will keep you motivated.
And now, here's your host, Technisha.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today is April the 22nd, 2014, and you're tuning in to another episode of The Bright Side with Technisha. I appreciate so much love that you're giving to me on Facebook fan page. Very soon, I will be coming out with my own newsletter, so I'll be keeping you up on further updates and everything. Today on the line, I have Mr. John Joseph Creek. He is the author of I See Only Your Perfection. And this is it's a great book if you're into the spiritual beliefs. If you believe in God and everything, this is the right book for you. And, of course, we all heard Beyonce's song, You Got a Big Ego, but this is beyond all that. So let's welcome Mr. John Joseph Creek today. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing fine, Technisha. How about you?
I'm blessed, and I'm glad you were able to be on the show today with us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk with you. I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I find your book fascinating. I See Only Your Perfection. I would like to know, how did you end up choosing this title, though?
Well, actually, that title just came to me. Traditionally, earlier in life, I was kind of an agnostic. I just didn't really believe in God. But I had so many experiences over the years that pointed to, you know, a greater power here that is really interested in helping us heal and helping us create better lives. And so when I finally kind of felt guided to write a book, that's the title that kept coming to me. So that's what I went with. And this is the first book in the series. I would love to say, you know, when I look in the news, I see only people's perfection, and that's not quite the case yet, but I do get glimpses of a beautiful essence, the essence that God created in some of the people that, you know, that I've run into, even in a difficult situation. You know, there's spiritual sight or vision that sees past the appearance of the body and the personality, and that has been so helpful in terms of forgiveness and really connecting with people at a deep level.
Okay. Well, now let's get into a little bit about your background, how you even came into getting into the spirituality of things.
Well, I came at life, you know, from an intellectual point of view, but I saw so many things that I couldn't explain without believing in God, you know, in a higher power that was driving things. There were too many things that were happening that just didn't make any sense at all unless I saw the world as being influenced by God. So gradually I just opened up to that more and more, and I've had some wonderful experiences along the way, and those are what I wanted to share in my book. And some of those, as you know, the subtitle, Turning Away from Ego, speaks to, you know, a lot of my path in getting closer to God was kind of letting go of the false self, my ego, or the part of me that didn't believe in God, didn't believe in a connection with all of the living things, and just felt like I was kind of here, you know, I had to go it alone. And also, you know, the judgmental part of me that sees myself as better than or less than everybody else, you know, that part had to go too. And it's been a fascinating journey, and I'm just looking forward to seeing where it leads next.
Well, see, that's a good thing, to get closer to God and become one. We have to have, a lot of people lose focus on that, but we have to have that personal relationship with God, because he's a jealous guy. He don't want you to love no one else but him, so you can't put another man over him or another woman. And the only way you can start off with getting that closer relationship, of course, I need to get more into it, go back to praying. We lose a lot of that sight in our households today. And pray, well, don't be proud or boastful about it. Try not to be. But it's nothing wrong with praising God every day if you can. So those are just some little steps. And, of course, we got to repent, confess your sins, to him and ask your Christian friends about prayer. If you aren't the best at prayer, you got to look around and read articles online. Go ahead. There's great prayer systems out here. Get in church more. So I'm glad to have you on this show so people can understand that, John, that you do have to get closer to God in order to become one with him and it has to work on you. It's a step by step. You got to take baby steps. It's nothing that's going to happen overnight.
That's what I found, too. The closer I get to God, the happier I am.
Right? Yeah. I know. It feels like he's right next to you, like a close friend when you're with him. And probably you find yourself talking to God more, too, don't you, John?
Yes, and the answers that come back are so helpful. If you don't mind, I'd like to share one that occurred, you know, that I put in my book that really changed me.
Oh, yeah, John.
Yeah, what happened was I got into a relationship with a woman I really loved and cared about, and I don't know if, you know, perhaps other people have had this experience, but it got rough on down the road. You know, we started fighting, and she was screaming at me, and I was feeling, you know, a lot of anger, and I asked for help, and I had a couple of visions. One of them, the one that I wanted to share was I saw kind of an image of her in my mind, and I saw her splitting into two different characters, and one of them was a warrior woman, and one of them was like this little girl, really beautiful little girl, and the warrior woman wanted to protect the little girl, but all the warrior could do was attack me. And when I attacked back, it didn't hurt the warrior woman, but it was really hurtful to the little girl. And when I saw that, there was something about that just changed me. I just didn't want to fight anymore. You know, I wanted to have conversations where we work through things and we get to the other side, not just, you know, not just fighting and hurting each other anymore.
Right. And that's so true. I agree with you all the way. But, you know, people have the tendency to always question God. And I think most of the questions I have heard other people come out their mouth is, why does he let people suffer? But it's a hard question sometimes to answer. But I think without suffering, there will be no joy. Without people being sad, there will be no happiness. You got to have the opposite. Just like we have the devil and we all wonder why we have to have him, but it's got to be something in order for something else to become better. So that's my only answer for the ones who want to question that or you want to know why he allowed free trust for us to sin. We all came through this world through sin, and it's your choice if you choose to turn over a new path. Because as far as I always learned, John, in church, you can walk around, but you can be a dead soul walking around.
That is true. And, with the economy the way it's been, I see a lot of people that they just seem to have lost the life in their eyes. It's been a difficult time, and you raise a good question, you know, why. And I don't have a great answer for that, you know, why does God allow suffering? But I think you really touched on it. You know, there are good days and there are bad days. And the thing is, we need to realize that, you know, sometimes we've got to go through difficult times to get to a better place, but God's with us every step of the way.
That's right. You do. You got to go through something in order to know. If you don't go through it, you won't never know. If you never let your children make their mistakes, if you're always helping them out, they will never learn. I let mine make mistakes. Let them go through it. Don't always baby them. They got to go through it. And see, I think that was the problem for me growing up. My mother never let me go through, so when I made it out here into the real world, I was clueless. I was like, what is this? I don't understand, because my mother didn't teach me. She always held me back, and she would always be the first one to say, you don't have common sense, and I'm like, or street sense, and I'm like, yeah, duh, because you never tell me what's going on. You keep me sheltered. So you have to experience things in order to know. And you know, it brought me to a good thing, too, because Tom Jones, who's on Channel 2, I intern with them, and I have him as a Facebook friend. He was mentioning things like everything that you learned that was bad and wrong, it seems to be okay now. And I don't know, John, because if it's 2014, that morals seem to be going down now. Everybody prays those. And when you do right, everybody looks at you like you're doing something wrong. So I don't know. Maybe people are not teaching values or morals anymore in the household.
It seems different now. I don't know why, and I just think, You know, I think of God like a loving parent. He would love for us to get it the easy way. I don't think he wants us to have to suffer, you know, any more than we have to.
No, he don't.
But we've got to really listen. You know, the Bible reference, I think, is sin has its pleasure for a season. You know, I can go out and do whatever and enjoy it for a while, but I know there's going to be something to pay on down the road, and I just don't want that anymore.
Okay, that other side always appears to be good, but sometimes it's not as good to just stay where you at. That grass don't always be green.
Yep, that's true.
That's right. Now, what was really your true inspiration to write this book, though?
I think it was the experiences. I just really feel so grateful for the experiences of this lifetime that I've had that have helped me bring me closer to God and a joyous life. And I wanted to share those. You know, there have been times when I'd just be talking with friends and I'd tell them about this experience or that experience, and they seem to really enjoy that. So I wanted to write down the things that happened to me and share them with more people. Because I do think, you know, everybody's had times when they feel confused, they feel frightened, they feel overwhelmed by life. And, I, you know, the experiences that I've had have really helped me with that, and I wanted to share that.
Well, see, that's good. I mean, at this moment of time and in these days of times, we need that. Each one of us, as close to God as we choose to be, we might be busy all the time with the endless to-do list, but we got to stop to spend time alone with God. That reminds me of Luke chapter 10, verse 38. There was a woman named Martha who made a choice. She kept herself so busy while Jesus was visiting her and her sister, and Jesus took notice. And they said he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. But Martha, overly occupied, too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone?" And I mean, you have to read the rest, but, of course, we know where it's going to lead to. So what's really important, work or God? And sometimes we do put work over God, and I have to admit to myself I'm guilty by doing this show every single day. And I said when June starts, John, I'm going to just count out Sundays. I need to get back to church. I got to. I cannot keep winning away from that. Because in order for my show to be well, I need God, and I need my God back.
It feels like being fed, you know, to go to that place, that spiritual place. And it's hard to go do without. And, you know, to your point, I think everybody's so busy now. You know, one thing I found, though, is when I go into meditation, you know, I go into prayer and I get quiet and I listen, I get ideas that help me do my work faster. And that's been, like, a real blessing. It's been a real blessing.
I know, and it just showers you and make you glow when you know that you've done something right. God, I mean, I love it. He feeds you. He don't make you hungry. You be thirsty to have him.
Yep, so that is the truth.
That's right. So what are your experiences with intuition and vision, though?
Well, intuition and vision, you know, the vision is like I mentioned with that person I was in conflict in, and I've seen that in other areas too where I'm in conflict with somebody. And what I'm seeing with my physical eyes, you know, that it's hard to forgive, but when I look with spiritual eyes, it's real easy. It's real, real easy. And then the intuition, I do a lot of work in IT, and I had ideas for how to automate some things that I was doing that really helped me out a whole lot. I got a whole lot done much, much quicker, and that's been extremely helpful because, you know, it's everybody's busy these days, and it's really important to find some quiet time, and it sure can pay off.
Yeah, you do. It does. You just got to really put it to the side, and that's. I mean, work is definitely important, but as in the story with Martha, it wasn't the most important thing for Martha to be doing at that particular time. And, you know, learning what to do and when to do, it's a very key issue, because when we do the right thing at the wrong time, it becomes the wrong thing to do. And I feel like this was not the time for Martha to be working because Jesus was passing by. And he's only going to keep passing by so long. He's knocking at somebody's door right now, and they're not listening. Mm-hmm. I hope you're not knocking at mine. I try to listen. I try to be attentive.
Yeah.
He's knocking. We just got to sit here and do our best to listen. Open up your ears. Now, John, give an example of how vision leads to healing of a relationship.
Well, there was a time when I was having a lot of trouble with somebody. And they were in a position that could have made my life really difficult. And I just found this out, and I was walking out to my car, and I had a vision of somebody throwing a knife at my back. And I saw the knife just bounce off and fall on the ground. And I realized, you know, that person can't really hurt me. You know, if I'm in a good, you know, spiritually centered place. And once I realized that, I could heal that relationship. You know, I could, instead of being scared of what are they going to do, you know, behind my back, just letting go of all that stuff, just leaving that up to God, and then just reaching out to them as an equal, as a friend. And that relationship healed.
I tell you, he's powerful.
Absolutely.
That brings me to Acts 18:10. For I am with you, and no one's going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city. He has his army. He's not, and what he say, John, you wear your breastplate of, you wear that breastplate of armor all the time. If you got God, that's your breastplate of armor. You don't have to worry about no harm. No, he will not let nobody harm his baby. That's right. That knife dropped because he wasn't going to let nobody harm you that night, John. No, sir, not in that dream. He was showing you that vision. I got your back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So, John.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead. You finish up. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I was just agreeing with you. Yep.
So, John, what is the future for this series? Because it's the first book, right? I Only See Your Perfection.
It is, and I'm writing book number two now, and I'm just going to see where this leads. My hope is, you know, to be able to see the perfection in everyone, to be able to see past the body, past the personality, to the essence God created in everybody, regardless of what's going on. You know, because there's a lot of unhappy things going on in this world. I'd like to see, you know, what's the truth behind all of that.
That's right. It is.
I don't think God created violent people, unhappy people, you know, super competitive people. I think, you know, in our essence, we're all God's children, and that's what I want to see in everyone. That's my goal.
That's right, and that vision will come to pass. If that's what you want, then God will let that happen. I know it's an ugly world out here because so many people, we do wrong. And, yes, we fall short of glory. No one's perfect but God, but you have to at least try. You don't make an effort, then I don't know what to say for you. You have to try.
That's the truth.
But I'll be glad when the second book does come out. I know it's going to be good, John. You already know.
Thanks.
Yes. So what type of feedback did you get? And what was said that people may have said to you that changed in their life when they read your book?
Well, the people seem to like the book. I've gotten a bunch of likes on Facebook, and I've gotten good comments from people that I've shared it with. One of the things I think that's been most helpful to people is I'm really honest about some of the mistakes I've made. I just put it out there because I don't think we are not our mistakes. That doesn't define who we are. It's what we do after we make a mistake that defines who we are. And so I was just really open and honest. You know, I've done some, not so bright things in my life. And what I heard was, write it anyway. And there's something really, at first it was, I felt kind of embarrassed to put that out there. But then there's something very freeing about it too. You know, this is who I was. It's not who I am.
That's a hard thing, John. How did you even come to the point where you wanted to just be honest? Because that's hard for some people to do, just come out and be honest about everything, lay it out on the table.
I think I started to feel the freedom that comes from that. I, in the beginning, I have, you know, like a group of friends that I trust. You know, I'm very, very honest with them, and vice versa, they're honest with me, and just felt so much healing coming out of that that I never wanted to give that up. And I find that the more open I am, just the better I feel.
Well, I commend you for doing that. That takes courage to do that. I hope one day I have the courage to do that, just to write something, lay it all out on the table, and hopefully if my friends truly, truly love me, that you'll forgive me. But right now I just haven't found that strength to do. No, not yet, John. One day.
Okay.
Oh, no, maybe not. But one day. Look, one day.
Well, when you decide to, I hope you'll share a copy with me, because, you know, I'll look at it with love and not judgment. I don't think I've got a right to judge, you know, anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what he says in the Bible. It says that people are not supposed to judge, but we still do that anyway. We, like,
yeah.
For instance, brought me to this article I read about this woman. She's 35 weeks pregnant, and everyone is judging her. You know, you can still work out when you're pregnant. You don't have to do extreme workout, but you're still supposed to give it. It helps with the birth. It'll come out easier. But everyone there is judging her, calling her names at the gym, and she just feels so discouraged. I wish I could reach out to her personally and just tell her, look, don't even worry about it. And she's doing the right thing. She says she just smiles at them and waves. And that's why I would wave with her. I would show my belly and be like, what? I show my belly. I am working out. Are you mad? You mad because the pregnancy? Yeah, which I would. And I just keep on going about my business. She doing just right. I wouldn't even engage into it. I wouldn't, because I find it ignorant. And especially when we're grown and we still doing the exact same thing like children. That's for our children to do, go around gossiping and talking about each other. That's what they do, tick for tack. But when you are adult doing it, that's an issue for me. And I really just find that what you're talking about, that's when you need to pick up a book like John and go read it and be by yourself, because you are happy on the inside for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I am.
But what is it actually like to see your story resonate with others?
Oh, I love that. I feel very connected to people. It's very gratifying that, you know, I love making a contribution here. I find, you know, maybe it's the older I get, but the joy really comes from what I give and not what I get so much anymore.
Yeah.
It's anytime I can give something that's helpful to others, that's very gratifying.
Always good to give back. That should make anybody feel good. And I'm so glad that you said that. It does. It makes you feel warm. You feel inspired just to know that somebody else helped out. Like one lady I had on my show, she said, one of my guests, I always try to keep everybody in mind, but they told me that they're not just out here just to sell their books for money. They want to actually help people. And that's the most inspiring thing to do, is to help somebody. And if you love what you're doing, you don't worry about favors in return, and you don't worry about the money. But some people have lost that, you know, some people can't do it, nothing for nothing. And I know that, for instance, like yesterday, helped out somebody, and then in order for them to pay me back, gave me food stamps, but then wanted something else in addition. Oh, you went over, and I'm like, seriously? I went over about $29, and you really want your money back. Wow. But it always be vice versa for me. Like, I can't never get that back in return for people. And I really don't even try to complain when I loan people something. I just do it from my heart. Like, okay, I'm going to help you out because you need it. But in order for you to help me out, I always have to be, oh, give me. And it's like, no, that's not how it should be working. But people don't see it like that, John. They don't.
Well, I don't know. You know, what I found in life is what I give comes back to me, and I don't have to worry about how it's going to come back. You know, so
exactly.
I give with a happy heart and just let the rest take care of itself.
Exactly, because it's going to come back to you anyway if you're doing it. If you're doing good, if you put out good, good will come back to you. But if you're putting out mess, then don't expect anything but mess to come back to you in your home. And as far as my understanding, John, I take my garbage out on Wednesdays, and I definitely don't need garbage should not be in my house once I take it out.
Yes.
I don't need it.
Yes, good point.
Exactly. So what did you find out about ego while writing the book? Because I know it's more than what we're actually thinking about when we hear ego, somebody got an attitude, or they think they're better than somebody.
I think the main thing I learned is it's real sneaky. Have to be watching out for it all the time. I think some of it's obvious, like when I'm feeling like, well, I'm better than that person or less than that other person. You know, I think that's ego. Or if I've got a good life, but there's part of me that, you know, wants to feel dissatisfied about it. I always want more rather than enjoying what I have. And part of me, you know, worried about, well, what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next year. And so I think those are some of the aspects of ego that I've just come to terms with. And, it's still something I had to be really careful about. You know, it sneaks up on me. I got into high anxiety place yesterday, but just, you know, pickups, dust off, and keep moving. That's the only thing I can do.
Exactly. Nothing else. You fall, you got to learn how to get back up, just like they say in show business.
Yes.
So, after writing this, what do you feel you accomplished?
I think I started down a road that I'm really enjoying. It connected me to a lot of people. I think, the people that I've given books to, I've had really good conversations with them, in-depth conversations. I think, you know, they feel a level of trust with me because they know, you know, if I don't judge myself, I'm not going to judge them. And it's just been really good. Been really good.
That's good. You're supposed to have that feeling. That's joy right there, John. It sure is. That's a happy dance. What's the rest? Because I'm happy. I love that song.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful. Beautiful. Yep.
So have you talked personally to any of your clients in regards to your book? Have they told you that it really actually changed them?
Yes. Yes. I've gotten good feedback on that. Good feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing I'm seeing is, people are more open about where their challenges are, which is, I think, a great thing. You know, because if people are trying to, you know, pretend like they're not struggling with stuff, it's going to be much more difficult to overcome it. And so, you know, that's one piece. And then also vision is such an important thing. You know, how does God talk to you? That's one thing I love to talk to people about. How do you hear God's voice? And sometimes it's vision, sometimes it's a voice. And that's really interesting to me, and I see people opening up to that, and that's very, very good to see.
It is, and that's hard for people sometimes to admit their struggles, I think, because you, especially when you go to places like church, you don't want everybody to be in your business and not even just struggling with certain things, maybe even struggling with sin, and that can weigh you down with grief. I mean, and I think in order like you said, you do have to be honest. But and let's all say today, let's start with the phrase, struggling with sin or whatever you're struggling with, you got to start off and be honest. And I feel it's a phrase that could be used as a less than honest way to describe how you believe you're doing in your battle against temptation and sin or whatever. And telling yourself or someone else that you're struggling is sometimes less than honest, although you may not realize it. But, I mean, to you, John, what does it mean to struggle? The word struggle to me means to fight against, but what does it mean to you?
I think that's exactly it, fight against. I think, you know, when I'm aligned with God, there's a flow in life and things go really smoothly, and I just don't worry about things. And I think struggle is, for me, you know, it can come up in forms of worry or anger or, you know, those kind of things. I think one thing that really helps is just talking through things with people. You know, like if I'm angry at somebody, you know, go to them and just talk it out. What's going on? What's really going on here? Because I've had some, you know, just really eye-opening experiences with, you know, where they're coming from. They just, you know, they think a little different than I do. They're not out to attack me. It's just, you know, kind of the way things work out. But I do think that, for me, struggle is just, you know, the ego snuck up on me and I didn't realize it. And I'm buying into something that it's selling, and that's not what I need to be doing.
Exactly. And we know that all just because you're a Christian, it doesn't mean you won't have struggles. Yes, you will. You just have to come forward and make every effort, to be honest, to enter that kingdom of heaven through the narrow door. Jesus says, because many will simply try but not be able to, Luke 13:24. So you just have to be, you got to tempt yourself to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do all, if you, yeah.
That's one thing. I think, you know, the times when the ego is really won in my life, the times I've given up, I felt like, you know, I've made so many mistakes that I'll just, you know, there's just no point in trying to do the right thing. And that's just one big lie.
I know. But see, John, how you got to keep yourself going, though? You can't, because somebody's always out there to attack. That's what the devil does. He attacks you left and right. He's not here for your joy or to make you happy. He gets you in church. That's one good place he won't attack you at. He definitely loves to get you right there. He knows that you have to be ready. You got to be prepared. You got to know who's on your side, who's not, because everyone is not always a true prophet. We have false prophets walking around with dead souls. They'll preach God, and they're not on that same page with you. Some are for you and some are against you. Like I was telling my guest yesterday, there's some people who are against me for this show. And my coworker, she made me realize that. She said, Technisha, you got to stop being so friendly with people because I can't help. I love to talk about when something happens good to me. And she told me, she said, everybody's not for you. They don't want to hear it. And it's hard for me to listen to that because I feel I go back to a child mode like, huh? What you mean? Because I want everybody to be happy. I want everybody to be on my side, and it's not going to work like that.
I wish it was, but we're not there yet. I think we'll have heaven on earth one day, but we're just not there yet.
Yeah, we sure will. I hope it don't be too late for most of us, though.
Same here.
But, you know, I think it was on your Facebook page, because I like to sometimes go on my guest Facebook page. It was a phrase that you wrote about your book. Whether you decide to read it or not, I hope you will take with you a reminder of your true essence, perfect, loving, and innocent, created by God, and totally unaffected by events in a world formed. I really love that statement. I mean, you blunt about it, really. You just straight to the point. If you want to read it or not, it's up to you. But just understand that I hope that you can be, to me it's like you almost, I hope you can be pure in love with God and know him, respect him. You don't have to read my book. It's up to you. But I'm not forcing you to do it. I'm just going to probably try to lead you to the water, but I can't make you drink it.
Oh, yes. And that's, you know, some people feel guided to read my book. Some people don't. And I hope that they're true to themselves because that's how they'll get where they need to be. And I do believe that. I do believe that the part of us that God created can't be touched by anything here, the spirit. And I would love more people to just consider that, you know, what's happening here, sometimes it's crazy, sometimes it's painful. But I think, you know, that doesn't matter to God. He just wants us to be happy.
Right. He does. And that's all he asks for. He don't want you to be miserable, but now that it comes to the subconscious part of our mind, we choose to think what we think. If you think misery, that will come. It's all about the law of attraction, too, I think, plays a part. Like attracts light, misery attracts misery. So if you attract garbage, you get garbage. So we have to stop doing that to ourselves. We got to stop sabotaging ourselves. If you figure you want a new car, you can't go back and say, oh, I can't afford it. Now you're sabotaging them. Now you're not going to get the car. The car is gone. It's gone bye-bye. Look at the wheels riding on by you because now you're unsaid it. So get out the bus car. That's exactly what you're going to be on the bus because now you're blew your chances. And I think sometimes I can hear to myself when I say I want money, but you could say it out of anger too. Oh, I want money because you're depressed. And we got to stop doing that. We do it to ourselves. Nobody's doing it but you. Only you can stop your blessing.
That's true. That is true. And I think we do that more often than we think. I think God wants everybody to have a great life.
Yes, he does.
And I think it's us that stops the flow.
Yes, we do. We stop that. We do it all the time to ourselves without sometimes realizing it. Now, also, you mentioned on your Facebook page, too, that you feel your book title is an aspiration than a reality?
That's, yes, I don't, I'm not able to see the perfection in everybody just yet. I get glimpses of it, but, you know, that's where I want to be. I want to be able to look at situations that look difficult and see past that, see past to the essence that God created in the people there.
Right. So that's right. I do agree with that. Now, also, you said you took a Course of Miracles. What did you come to know about this?
Course in Miracles, a friend introduced me to that, and that's been a path of study, and I go to a class every Sunday, and we study it, and it does talk about God's love and the importance of forgiving and importance of letting go of judgments. And, you know, to see... see everyone as our brother and sister, and be a little wary of the world. There's a lot of things in the world here that aren't really all that good for us, you know, like chasing status and chasing money. And there's nothing wrong, I think, with having money, but, you know, when it turns into an obsession, when things become more important than the relationship with God, that's when it becomes a problem. So those are the kind of things I'm learning from A Course in Miracles.
Why? Because we think we really need it. Yeah, we do need money to pay your bills, but then it gets so sad and when we turn on news and people are actually killing one another just for a dollar. And it's really sad that you can't even have your own money. You got to take from me? What is the problem with you working? I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah,
go ahead, John.
I just wonder how many, you know, if there aren't people here who just don't think they're worthy of a good life, you know, that they feel like they've got to do whatever it takes to, you know, just get by. And that's sad because I think, you know, everybody is worthy of a good life and everybody should have a good life.
Exactly. And it just brings you back to the point because, see, we're so full of this boastful pride of life. We're full of this lust in our eyes and other flesh. And that's the problem when it came from Genesis 3:6, when that woman saw that that fruit of that tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and he ate it. And it just basically comes to the point where we can say for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not the Father, but it is from the world. It's not.
True.
I mean, can we really do without money? No, we cannot, but we cannot put that above our Father. That's why my mother always taught me to, that's why the rich people, they have their heaven here. And the poor people, our heaven will be when we get ready to leave from this body, this dust that we were obtaining, our heaven is there. Rich people already have their stuff down here because you already got it. What more do you need?
That's
you
true.
Have everything.
Mm-hmm.
They think we wanted too. Do some of them even thank God for being where they at? Like, do you really sit down with him and thank for that you got all them billions and billions of dollars? But every time I turn on TV, they're just stretching their poor hands out to us, average people, and holler, we need these donations. No, I'm already doing my best. Why milk my pockets anymore? For some of these billionaires, some of these people who got the money, reach them commercials out to them. Let them help out sometime. want to milk in our forces. No, we're struggling. We already try to do. I'm just saying, John, we already try to do. I don't mind helping out others. But at the same time, I don't always have it. You be feeling sorry when you see them commercials, the dog commercials, and then they got to play that old dead old song with it. And they show them big old eyes on them animals, and I really be feeling sorry for them. I do. Look like, I don't mean to laugh. They do be showing, they do the commercial be so pitiful, John, and you, it makes you feel so sorry for them. Like, really? Did you have to show this commercial? But, well, John, what the people who may not have purchased your book just yet, what will change about them when they do get your book?
I think that it will invite them to open up to perhaps a way of seeing life they haven't seen before, and it may help them connect with God, and it may help them let go of some of their past. You know, I have no doubt God's forgiven me, and I've done some really stupid things, and so sometimes I think reading that helps other people give themselves a break, if you know what I mean, because I think part of the ego is, you know, well, you've made some real mistakes, you know, you don't really deserve a good life, and I just don't believe that's true.
No, everybody deserves a good life. There's just some people just don't know it just yet, but everybody deserves a chance. God give him one thing about him, our good God, he does give us second chances out here. He keeps giving you chances. Now, I don't know if he's going to keep giving you too many chances now. You can't keep acting up, oh, I made this mistake again. Okay, let me ask God for forgiveness. No, that's not how it works. This is not a return and go fundraiser or at the pawn shop. You have to try to do right the first time now. He's not going to keep bailing you out. God is not one of those policies. But, John, let us know how we can end up getting your book and get in contact with you.
I am on Facebook. I see Only Your Perfection. I also, my email, johnjcreek@comcast.net. And then the book, Amazon has that. So you can find that on Amazon just by Googling I See Only Your Perfection.
Well, John, it's been amazing. I mean, just acts of selfless really is important out here, just to give back. It's inspiring to know that your story can help so many out here. I really love it. It brings so much emotion to you. John, thank you. You just don't know how much you probably have changed somebody's life right now just listening to this show. So please, go out today, get the book today. It's really becoming of someone if they do. But thank you so much, John, for being here.
Thank you, Nisha. I really appreciate this opportunity. It's been great talking with you.
You too, John, and you enjoy this weather. I meant to mention, John is in Atlanta too with us.
It's a pretty time to be in Atlanta.
Okay, I just hope it stays like this. Are we supposed, because I didn't catch up on my news, are we getting any rain today?
I don't know. Hard to tell. In Georgia, it's all over the board. It's been somewhere between summer and winter here lately, so I don't know, but we'll see, I guess.
Okay, I'm just glad I didn't give up my girl's coach just yet. Because it was cold up in the beginning. I was like, darn, I thought spring was here. Now you're telling me it feels like winter all over again. But anyhow, John, thank you, and God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day, too.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Technician.
You're so welcome. I just want to say, all my Atlantans, hey, let's enjoy this good weather today. I hope it doesn't rain today, because I'm really tired of the weather going up and down. I also wanted to thank people. I think the most people I have gotten to listen to my show are in Atlanta and also Ghana. So if anybody is from Accra, Ghana, I thank you so much. And I now have 440 people who like my page. So that's very awesome from me just starting in February. I'm really proud of myself. And I hope to succeed, and I hope this goes farther. But if you have not liked my page on Facebook, please go to it. It's The Bright Side with Technisha. I'm always accepting your comments, any requests that you prefer, please Give them to me. I'm here. I'm listening. That's the only way I can grow and become better. Heather, who's on the chat line with me, I really do appreciate you so much. And I see that you want me to play some music. Well, let me see. I'll play you a song. Anything in particular that you want me to play, Heather? How about let's take it back a little old school then with LL Cool J, Around the Way Girl.
Earrings, at least two pairs, a Fendi bag and a bad attitude. That's all I need to get me in a good mood. She can walk with a switch and talk with street slang. I love it when a woman ain't scared to do a thing. Standing at the bus stop, sucking on a lollipop. Once she gets pumping, it's hard to make the hottie stop. She likes to dance to the rap jams. She's sweet as brown sugar with the candy yams. Honey-coated complexion, using Cabernet. Let's hear it for the girl, she's from around the way. That's why I had to dedicate at least one rhyme to all the cuties in the neighborhood. Cause if I didn't tell you, then another brother would. You're sweet like sugar with your gangster talk. Wanna eat you like a cookie when I see you walk. With your rayon silk, or maybe even denim. It really doesn't matter as long as you're in them. You can break hearts and manipulate minds, or surrender, act tender, be gentle and kind. You always know what to say and do. Cold flip when you think your man is playing you. Not cheap or petty, you're ready for loving. You're real independent, so your parents be bugging. But if you ever need a place to stay, come around my way.
Everyone, I am out. It's been good. It's been fun. I appreciate the much love that you have been giving me. Tomorrow coming up is David Freeman. David Freeman will be talking about the Thought Exchange. He is the author of the Thought Exchange. So I want to make sure that you stay tuned tomorrow at 12 o'clock p.m. And as always, hit your girl up on Twitter at TDay60. You can also find me on Facebook, Bright Style with Technisha. Hit me up. I'm always listening. Or you can email me at technishaday@gmail.com. But I'm out. It's been good. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bright Side with Technisha.
Come back daily from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
God bless.